We'd like to welcome each and every individual to Mastermind Partnerships. Hi, my name's Kevin King.
And I'm Steve Minnick, and Kevin and I will be your facilitators for this call, Over 60 and Loving Life.
And if you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300.
If you're calling in from outside the United States, please use our U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Well, Kevin, let's get at it.
Yeah, let's get at it. Well, and we've been going through the white paper, Over 60 and Loving Life, and the section we're on today is trust. Remember that we're looking at the five T's, time, talents, trust, and time, talents, treasure, trust, truth. And we're going to be talking about trust today. Sometimes we have to trust people that we may not think we should trust, but those are actually the very people that we should trust. It's interesting. Sometimes it's a little counterintuitive. And as we grow older, one of the things that we really have to be careful about is putting trust in relationships. As we get older, we start to lose friends to death. They're moving, changes in life. And if we start losing a lot of friends that we're not gaining, and we're becoming more disconnected at a time in life when we probably need some more connections than ever before. And if we're not working and getting out less, then we start losing the ability to make new friends. And this becomes an issue. Ralph Miller shares, we have to be more intentional and more disciplined as we get older and gradually fade away, which is really a shame. I mean, you think about it. How much do you know now that you wished you had known 10, 20, or even 40 years ago? Probably a lot. While often others do not value or appreciate wisdom, especially people that are over 60 and loving life, that it doesn't mean that people shouldn't give it. One story is told by Tom Kuntz, who's the immediate past president of Century 21. It's the largest real estate franchise in the world. He shares a story about how his grandfather assisted him in achieving his career goal. It's called the Grandpa Chappelle Principle. It's pretty cool. When Tom was young, he talked with his grandpa, and his grandpa had told him, he goes, Tom, look, I know you're probably not going to listen to what I have to say, but as people give you ideas to what can make your life better, why don't you just write them down? At some point, you're probably going to use one of them, and then you're probably going to look back and take a look at the remainder of them, and then you're going to sit and wonder, wow, what would my life have been like if I really listened to the people I respected and taken their advice? Would it have made my life easier? Would I have been further along instead of where I am now? That's what Grandpa Chappelle had shared with Tom. And he said, it was a great idea, and I did it, and I do it, and I still do it. And the question I had is, how often in life is the answer given to us and we're not receptive to it? We don't trust. And the insights given and the problem is, when we don't execute, we have to pay the price for not listening professionally, personally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And how costly is that? Well, we'll never know, because we'll never get an invoice for what our mistakes really cost us. Steve, you shared with me a story about a friend of yours. Would you share that with us today?
Sure. I was chatting with a friend of mine over breakfast, and he told me a story about his mother-in-law who has passed on, but she lived with my friend and his wife for over 20 years, and then finally ended up with his wife's younger sister. But during that time, she really needed a lot of attention. She was a real high-maintenance elderly lady. And my friend believes that it might have come from the fact that, well, he looked at her high school annual, and she and her twin sister were very competitive. They were in sports. They were in academics. They were on the varsity teams. At that time, they were in tennis, and both of them were very beautiful. And probably had a lot of attention from people. Well, as she grew older, she still craved that attention. And the way she got it was she listened carefully to when my friend and his wife were making plans to either go visit somebody else or go on a vacation or go out to dinner or whatever. And she would do whatever she could to sabotage their plans. You know, she would do it by feigning some kind of illness. And
soon, the
hospital in our local small town stopped taking her. It's pretty bad when your hospital doesn't believe you or trust you anymore. Well, it almost turned out very sad because, you know, like always, you know, my friend's mother-in-law heard that my friend's wife was going to go do something, and she called her up and she said, "I'm really, really sick." "Okay, Mom," you know, his wife said, "yeah, that's fine." And she took her time and, you know, got ready and went over. And turns out her mom actually did have a heart attack, and they almost lost her.
Oh.
So there's Mom craving attention, crying wolf, and making everybody's life miserable and, you know, creating expense for my friend and his wife, you know, ambulances and stuff that wasn't needed. And how many people... They're just talking about the procedures, and they get into too much detail. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, it's like, no, right. don't go there.
Right.
We have to trust the people around us. And I've noticed something, Kevin, speaking of hospitals and doctors and whatnot, we place a lot of trust in doctors and the American Medical Association and whatnot. And people tend not to trust, they tend not to trust alternative medicine because it's not familiar. You know, familiar feels comfortable and safe. Alternative, doesn't feel comfortable. And is it going to really work? Or are these guys a bunch of quacks? Well, I've spent my whole life trusting alternative medicine and not so much the AMA. And I go to a naturopath instead of a regular doctor. When my older brother had cancer, he went to his regular doctor. He abided by what his doctor told him to do and took the chemotherapy and all of that. And it certainly may have done him some good. It isn't what I would have done. I had a conversation with one of my wife's cousins who also is suffering from cancer. And it's pretty well known that sugar... That cancer loves sugar. Cancer grows on sugar.
Yes.
In fact, Kevin, weren't you telling me one time about a procedure that kind of proved that fact?
Yeah, it was. A friend of mine, dear friend, who's still alive by the grace of God, has battled a very rare form of cancer five times, and he's still alive. He's one of 300 people out of 7 billion that have ever got this. And what they said for his last procedure is they didn't know, they couldn't find where the cancer went this time. But what they said is that he had a very strict regimen for 2 solid weeks of no sugar. I mean, no sugar whatsoever. He had to be careful of what the vegetables he ate. And then when he went in for his procedure, they gave him a very, very small contained radioactive dosage of sugar water. And when he drank it, they had an imaging screen up. And as soon as he consumed it, it went directly to the cancer. And the image found it was around his heart and around one of the valves. And it was amazing to me. It's you know, to know the truth and not to act on it is not to know the truth. To do and not to to know and not to do is just not to do, not to know. The truth sometimes doesn't sound right simply because it isn't familiar. But we can't be fearful. We can't be fearful in relationships. We can't be fearful as we get older. Regardless of how we feel, we have to look and find the truth and really start to trust what people are saying, the people that have the fruit on the tree. So that's the section here on trust So we're going to open up the lines. Mark Boersma has joined us. I'd like to invite you onto the call here. Mark, what would you like to accomplish today?
It's an interesting conversation. I don't know if there's anything specific to this topic.
Okay.
Mark, may I ask you a question, Mark? Trust
sure.
is awfully important, and yet I find that at times I can be overly trusting. Is it helpful to know the personality traits, and which personality traits could you trust more, maybe, or does it have any effect on trust?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, actually. It's interesting because there's been a lot of conversation. There's been a lot of conversation on this, and we actually did a section on mastermind seminars this last on the bonus session. And we often distrust people that are opposite personalities. But like I was in the mortgage industry and in the press, you know, they talk about predatory lending, but they don't really talk about predatory lending really where it's at. You know, it's minority on minority. So black on black, Hispanic on Hispanic, Chinese on Chinese. So we tend to trust people who are similar to us. You know, it could be age, it could be ethnic, it could be religion, it could be our own personality. And often, you know, often the people that we tend to naturally trust the most are the ones that, you know, we maybe should trust least. And the ones that we would naturally trust the least, we might trust the most, because the people that are different personalities than what we are, they're sending us subconscious vibes that will go ahead and cause us to trust them less. So an example would be, like, Kevin and I are part of a coffee connection, and there's a gentleman that's an amiable personality. And so he went ahead and did something, and then he went ahead and apologized. And one of the other members said, "So are you really sorry?" He's like, "No, somebody just told me to apologize." So I did. And so for me, as a driver personality, that just decimates all trust. I mean, I just like, yep, I don't trust him. I do not trust him at all. Well, why is that? Well, because he looks at things in a different way. To me, I look at that as lying. You're lying. You're deceiving people. I mean, you're saying you're sorry when you're not sorry, and so I don't know when to trust you and not to. So I don't trust him at all if I do it based on my personality. Now, if I understand his personality, which is amiable, they just have a different way of thinking. And so it's not necessarily that he's untrustworthy. You know, it's just that he's going to say whatever he's going to say to make people feel good. So when I understand how the different personalities kind of function, I can help to be more cautious in judging people that I naturally normally would judge, but, you know, probably not a good idea for me to do so. I don't know if that answers your question or helps.
Yeah, that did help. Uh-huh.
Cool.
Karen Carlson has also joined our call. Karen, what are your thoughts here, your insights on what we've been talking about?
Well, I missed the first few minutes, but came in on the idea of, you know, trust and, you know, the things that we, you know, when you're talking about sugar and cancer and things like that, being someone who's in the health profession, I found very interesting, because it's true that people many times still resist against things that maybe in their intellect they know would be good, but there's a part of them that resists against acquiescing and accepting things. So I just thought that was interesting, that information about the sugar and cancer and all those things. I had some knowledge of that, but that example was very powerful.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard. I think, Steve, you had mentioned that there was a gathering that you had for somebody who was maybe a little bit older and who actually had cancer, who complained about having cancer. But what was she doing?
Right. This was a family reunion, and we know that cancer cells grow in sugar. They love sugar. Cancer cells love sugar. And here she is. She's addicted to Coke and Pepsi, anything caffeinated like that. She doesn't like coffee because it's bitter, so she drinks Coke, after Pepsi, after it. She probably goes through, I don't know, 6 to 10, sugary drinks per day. And then she's wondering why she still has cancer. And then she goes to get the chemotherapy. And once she gets done with a round of chemotherapy, she asks her doctor, well, can I go back to my regular diet? Sure, go back to your regular diet. Candidly, it's unfortunate and sad that most doctors have very little training in nutrition. And sugar is not something that is good for our bodies. Highly processed sugar is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, eating good fresh fruits and vegetables. I'm talking about highly processed food. And candidly, it's probably a better idea to stay on the outside of the grocery store where you've got your fresh fruits, vegetables, and good lean meat, and not go into the center of the store where there's all this processed stuff. One of the best things that happened to me was my naturopathic doctor told me that I was, and we did the blood testing and found out that I was allergic to most forms of sugar. I can have honey, I can have xylitol, and maple syrup, fresh, natural maple syrup. But, I lost 15 pounds in a matter of a couple of weeks just getting off sugar. And I'm feeling a lot healthier now. And instead of having a sugar rush like a lot of young kids do, my energy level is real even throughout the day. I was even up at 5 o'clock this morning splitting wood. I split wood for about an hour. I figured, hey, if I'm going to do my regular exercising, I might as well get some work done at the same time. And this is key for people that are over 60. If they want to love life, they want to avoid physical ailments. And candidly, my friends that are also over 60, as I am, we really don't want to hear about all of the details of your latest procedure. It's not all that cool to hear about, poop and urine and all kinds of stuff that we just don't need to know about all that. It's way too much information. It's far better for us to share on a different level, not about our aches and pains, but about, real life and our hopes and dreams and our bucket list and stuff that we want to do. And, I'm 62 years old. I want to live to be at least 120. I'm only halfway there. You know what I'm saying? Let's take care of this body, otherwise it's not going to get me over that bridge.
Well, that's a great point, Steve. That's a great point. I think one of the best ways that people can continue to connect at a high level is to start their own mastermind group, and because you find the best perspectives. You find people connecting. There's a great book for doing that. It's called the Coffee Connections Special Edition Workbook. And for people that, have never had a coffee connection group or a mastermind group, this is a fantastic way to start. it's simple. Everybody has it. You can go through 10 pages a week like we've been doing. We've just now started going through the book for the second time in our Coffee Connection. And then on Thursday mornings, of course, for the Legacy Partners call, we're doing 10 pages in 10 minutes. It's a fantastic way to connect. Comes up with some great ideas. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just get the workbook. Again, it's the Golden Triangle Special Edition Coffee Connections workbook by Mark Boersma and Tom Kuntz. And it's the workbook number 2. So it's been completely revised and updated. There's tons of information, QR codes, videos, things. So it's a great way that people can sit down and have high-level conversations that really build a tremendous amount of trust. And let's face it, if we could get people that are over 60 and loving life and people in their 20s and 30s and 40s who are desperately needing that kind of interaction with people that are wiser than they are, imagine what can happen across the nation and across the world, really, if that were to take place. That'd be pretty amazing.
It would be amazing. Hey, Mark, am I going to put you on the spot here, but do you have the link for or how someone can order that book or how they can get involved in the process of doing a Coffee Connection?
I can give a kind of a long, I don't know that there's a direct one, but you can go to thevisionproject.net and then go to process, and then at the top of that you'll see the Golden Triangle Workbook. Click on that, and then at the top of that you'll see the 530 Coffee Connections Workbook. And then there's a whole resource library there. You can do a PDF. You can order a printed book. There's just a whole bunch of things. There's author readings on the workbook, and so there's a whole bunch of resources there.
Very cool. Thank you.
I've got the link, and I'm going to send it out to you. I just saw it right now. I'm going to copy it and send it out here, Steve. And then whoever wants that, who's listening to the rebroadcast of the call, they could just call, and we can send that link to them. What would be the best way for them to get connected, Steve, to get that resource into their hands?
Right. Well, if people want to reach out to me directly, easiest way to do that is steve@smartwealthradio.com. That's S-T-E-V-E at smartwealthradio.com. And I'll be sure and get that link out to you as quick as I can. Hey, by the way, here's our assignment for this Section 5 on trust. You now should own a journal, and if you don't, you should go out and buy one. You can get one of those empty books. You know, they're nicely bound, maybe even bound in leather, but they all have blank pages, and get a good quality pen that you enjoy using. And then what your assignment is this week in this area of trust is to write in your journal those people that you trust and why you trust them. And, you know, oftentimes we learn from the opposite. So also list some people that you don't trust and why you don't trust them. And maybe even ask yourself the question, could I trust them? Well, what would they need to do to earn my trust? And be very thoughtful and very candid in what you say, because after all, it's your journal. You're not going to be sharing it with us, but doing this exercise will make a huge difference in your life. And begin reaching out to other people. Invest some time in other people. You may have lost friends, loved ones, relatives. It's time to earn new friends. It's kind of hard to get new relatives, although we are getting maybe, you know, more kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. So, you know, that could happen too, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Thanks for being on the call, everybody. If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this and you say, wow, that was really different, that was intriguing. If you received benefit from this, then go to thevisionproject.net. That's thevisionproject.net. And go to What's Your Biggest Challenge? Then go to Your Help Is Needed. You'll be able to learn more about the Vision Project. You can even contribute to the group-funded app. And quite frankly, you know, maybe the best way for you to give back and pay it forward is to start your own coffee connection. It's very simple. It's very easy. The work's been done for you. Pick a place and a time. You don't even have to drink coffee, for crying out loud. But get together with some people. Start building some new relationships.
That's good stuff. Hey, and if you have a question about the material in today's session, you can contact the individual that invited you to participate, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in from outside the U.S., you can use our U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless and have an amazing day.